up in South Carolina here, you know, I wasn't invited back. And so I realized what it was, is that I didn't have the biscuits and gravy, you know. Because if I had biscuits and gravy, then I'd talk like this, you know. And I wouldn't really be able to understand what anything anybody else is saying, you know. So I have to talk to this guy from Connecticut over here, be able to get what the real English is, you know, because I don't know this stuff. So that's the best I can do. I had biscuits and gravy this morning. It hasn't helped. And the last time I was here, you know, they tarred and feathered me because I was a carpetbagger from the north. And I kept pleading, you know, as they were pouring the tar on, throwing the feathers in my face, and I'm from Arizona! And they said, that's right, that's north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's like, no, it's not. It's right next to Mexico, for God's sakes. You don't have a Mexican accent, so we don't know if you really are from there. You could be one of them illegals. So, anyway.
You got some in your history somewhere, brother.
So, I'm back. And
did you live in Georgia for a while?
I did live in Georgia for a while. They threw me out of there, too, because I talked too fast. And I said, you know, maybe we should look at it this little different perspective. Maybe you're just too slow. But they didn't agree with that either. So, it may be 6 years before you hear me again, unless it's done virtually. And I am blessed to be here with you and so thankful, Kathleen, my wife, and I, to be able to be part of this because we really have missed it. And part of it is COVID. Part of it has been health issues. Part of it has just been the economy of moving and moving and moving and just not being settled enough to be able to plan ahead like this. And so we're thankful that the conference was changed from April to now so that we could attend. And thank you, Roger. Where'd he go?
He's done,
right? Just drop the mic right now and walk out? Okay, well, then maybe Roger doesn't need to listen to this, but the clock you see here has some meaning. And I'll hopefully expound on more about this as we go forward, but from on the surface, the topic I want to talk about is redeeming the time. And Ephesians 5, 10 through 17 is where we are told about that. And so let me just review that. Ephesians 5, 10 through 17 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, I have to ask myself a question. If I were on trial like Johnny Depp, you've read the news, right? And I was on trial for redeeming the time, what would the outcome be? What would the evidence be that said I was, in fact, redeeming the time? And so, I mean, you may be asking yourself as well, and you know, what have I done lately that would be evidence that says I'm redeeming the time? And so I'm going to ask you that question in a little bit here as I get through my 40 minutes or so. Because I had to ask myself that question, I had to ask a couple of other people too, exactly what does redeeming the time mean? And so time is an easy portion of it. You know, you've got father time, right? He's a baby in January, and he's an old man by the end of the year. And it seems like the last 2 years, that's exactly what happened to me. I was this young guy, And I don't know what happened. I went to a reunion a couple of weeks ago, and there were all these old people there. And this guy walks up to me and goes, "Who are all these old people?" And I was like, "I don't know. I don't even recognize them." They had their picture on their name tag. It was like, "You don't look like him. You don't look anything like him." And then they would go into their story of why they had aged so quickly. And fortunately, obviously, I had not. or at least was not in the mirror I looked into, which the steam from the shower makes sure that it's blurred, and so it still looks pretty good. So let's take a look at the other word in this phrase, redeeming, and what does that really mean? And in the context of this, does the definitions that we're going to look at, the other verses that we look at, really explain what redeeming the time means? So if we go to the Old Testament, we take a look at Exodus 6:6. It says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." So the context here of redeeming, the Hebrew word is 1350, it's galal, and it has to do with redeeming. It has to do with kinship, being able to buy back land that was given or sold to someone else, or to provide in the line of kinship, a brother could marry a widow of his previous brother and redeem her in that situation. It means to avenge. It means to deliver. It means to be a purchaser, a ransom, or a revenger. So let's think of the context here, you know, redeeming the time. A revenger of the time? You know, there's a lot of those old guys at my reunion that want revenge over time. Is it a ransom? Should I buy back my time? Can I do that? I don't think so. I mean, if I could, or if we could, are there situations and things that you have gone through in your life that you'd like to purchase back? Is that possible? Is that what it means? Exodus 13:15 says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh could hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But the firstborn of man, the firstborn of beast, therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children," meaning Israel, "I redeem." Different word here. It has to do with ransom. So he's going to ransom the children of Israel. He is going to deliver them. Well, we know that Moses was called a deliverer. All right, so let's go back to redeeming the time. Can I deliver the time? I don't know. I can't deliver on time half the time. I'll try to stick to my time, however. So I'm done at what time?
11.
Oh, good. Then I have 3.5 hours.
That's how you got it.
All right, so let's continue. In Job, it says, "In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword." So, redeem you from death. There's redemption from death. There's redemption from an individual that would try to kill you. This is the same Greek word or Hebrew word we just looked at, however. Let's look at a couple of other places. Psalms 26:11. "But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me." Same Greek, same Hebrew word. Psalms 49:6-8. "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother." We talked about that before. That's that same different, that same word. "Nor give to God a ransom for him." So I can't buy back myself from God. "For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever." This word comes from the same Hebrew word 6299, a ransom, redeem, or redemption. And as we think about how that fits in redeeming the time, again, ransoming, buying back, is that within the context? A couple more from the Old Testament. Psalms 49:15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Psalm 69:18. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it, deliver me because of mine enemies. Now we said earlier that to redeem was to deliver or to save. And we'll find that in the New Testament we're going to see more of the concept of salvation. But in Hosea 13:14 says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Okay, so I'm going to save them from it. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine. This is the Hebrew word galal again. Again, it has to do with an avenger. I will avenge your death. Can you say that I will avenge the time? I'm not sure that that fits. So let's take a look then at the word redemption. In Psalms 111:9, it says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. This is another Greek word that comes from 69:29. It has to do with deliverance. It has to do with redemption or redeeming. Just again, as Moses was a deliverer, here it says that he's commanded his covenant forever. And if that's the case, if there's a forever covenant, what does redeeming the time have to do with it? Because it wouldn't matter the time. Psalms 130:3-8. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Myself included. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Waiting and redeeming? Maybe. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So we have another clue here that redeeming and, I'm going to say patience because of the word waiting for the Lord, that redemption may not come like that. It may be something that we have to wait for over time. And so we see the time and waiting, somehow the context is the same. Look then at the New Testament. Luke 2:36-38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. Now, I don't know if you remember the story, but you've got Christ at 8 days, goes into the temple. And here is Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Greek word here, lutrosis, has to do with a ransoming. It is translated redeemed or redemption in different places. We'll take a look at a few of them. But think about this. She had been in the temple day and night waiting for the redemption, the Redeemer. She waited patiently for over 44 years. She was widowed after just 7 years of marriage. And just prior to this, if we read the context of Luke, is when the parents of the Lord, the Christ child, bring him into the temple. One of the priests that's there says, I've been told that I would not die until I saw the salvation of the Lord. And he holds the child and says, this is the salvation. Lord, go ahead and kill me now. Take my life. And then Anna walks up and says, yeah, This is the redemption. This is the redeemer. This is the rescuer, the deliverer. Romans 23 and, oops, I think it's 3:23-24. I may have that wrong. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This word has to do with a ransom that's been paid in full. It has to do with salvation, deliverance, and again we hear and see redemption. And so we know that we've all sinned. We know that we've all come short of the glory of God. But now, by the grace through Christ Jesus, we have this redemption. So this deliverance, and I go back to our word in Ephesians in terms of redeeming the time, is this deliverance of time. It just doesn't fit, does it? So Ephesians 1, 6 through 10 says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Same Greek word, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both are which in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This word again has to do with paying a ransom in full, and he did so through his blood. And because of that, we have this grace.
Amen.
But notice that it's been in the dispensation of fullness of time. And so we bring time and redemption back together again. There is a time for this redemption. So again, how are we redeeming the time? Because my blood is not going to help any of you. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. We frequently find the word patience and long-suffering together. It has to do with enduring. Enduring has to do with a period of time. How long do you endure? Some people can hang from a bar like doing a chin-up, and they can hang there for 10, 15 minutes. When I was a wrestling coach, we used to time people to see how long they could hang on, because in wrestling, you need to hang on to your opponent. And so we would see that how long could they endure? How long could they deal with the pain that would start forming in their forearms and shoulders? And Christ obviously had to do the same thing when he endured the cross. But it has to do with, enduring has to do with time, because we can endure some things this long. When you get a shot in the arm, right? A little needle, stick, big deal. It's over. Done. Okay? But what if then you swell up and you're allergic and now you've got to go through weeks of pain because of a reaction to it? That's enduring. We can endure some things for a short time, but not necessarily for a long time. In Titus 2:11 it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Is that how we redeem the time? Being zealous of good works? Possibly. Is it looking forward to that hope and that appearing, which we must endure this world? Is that a matter of redeeming the time? So let's take a look at the first reference that we started out with today, Ephesians 5, 10 through 17, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Is that redeeming the time? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Is that a hint of how redeeming the time should be? Not being foolish, waking ourselves out of slumber instead of being a slacker that lays around all day in bed? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that have to do? Why is the because the days are evil part of redeeming the time? We'll go back to having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, walking away from those. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Is that part of redeeming the time? The Greek word here for redeeming is the root of some of the other words that we've looked at, and it has to do with ransoming, rescuing from loss, or buying up. And in fact, in the Companion Bible notes, the margin states that this Greek word means to buy back. So here we are again with buying back the time, ransoming the time, rescuing the time, delivering the time. And my question to you is, what are you doing that demonstrates that you are, in fact, redeeming the time? That question is for me. I ask myself that question first. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he died for us that we might live. He saved us from the curse of the law, which no man could fulfill except for him. And we are not under the law. We're under grace. And because we're under grace, wait, why are we under grace? Because he redeemed us. Because he died for us. So that the law has no impact on us. Circumcision has no impact on us. And the traditions of men have no impact on us. Galatians 4:13, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Redeemed them from the law. This is the second time we've read this. But the law kept them in bondage. I've got shackles there, ancient shackles, actually. That were used to hold slaves, people who had been conquered from one nation by another nation. They were shackled and marched off to do work for them in some way, shape, or form. And so the example here is that Christ unshackled us. He took us out of bondage from the law and put us into grace. He redeemed us through his blood. Colossians 4:2 through 6. It's the second and only other time that this phrase redeeming the time is used. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Are those examples of redeeming the time? With all praying also for us that God would open us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Is that redeeming the time? Same Greek word has to do with rescuing. And here it says, improve the opportunity. Redeeming the time, improving the opportunity. Does that fit a little better than what we have been reading in terms of rescuing or salvation or delivering? I think so. So, my conclusion, based on what we've learned from the Word, from the Old Testament as well as the New, what redeemed actually means, to rescue, to purchase back, to buy back, to deliver, to release, to save, to preserve. Let me ask you, can you redeem a family member? Can you be redeemed from iniquities, death in the grave? So how do we redeem the time? Do we rescue it? Do we purchase it back? Do we deliver it? Do we release it? Do we preserve it? Do we save it? So given what I've presented, I've saved myself quite some time. So if somebody else would like to tell me what redeeming the time means to you, based on what we've presented, or what would the evidence be in your life that you are, in fact, redeeming the time? Don't be shy.
Well, I'll start it off. I think knowing the time is like a river, and as it goes by, what's already gone by is gone. I sit here thinking about that as you were saying it, and my estimation of redeeming the time would be to redeem the time that we are given, that we have left, at least in my view.
As we go forward.
We can control what we have left. You can't do much about what's already went by. I don't know if anybody has a time machine in the basement. This is what I'm saying.
Nick, I'll come back to Mike after that.
Don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time. Okay. I've heard that by some of the people that I canvassed on this. Mike?
I've understood it as buying out the time. Buying the time out with your time and how you spend it with the Lord and studying His Word. You buy that time out by decision.
Amen.
Jason?
It's what Mikey was saying. I think it's making the best use of your time because we're all presented different opportunities. We're all different situations. And for me, redeeming the time for me is being the father and the husband that I can be. And I've got to fit studying the Word in there too, but for me it's more of a practical, relational sense because this is where I'm at right now. But making the best use of your time, making the best use of every opportunity that the Lord gives you.
I like that. Nice. Yes. Tony?
Using Bonnie's analogy, I couldn't help but see that picture, the water, and maybe trying to rescue that water before it leaves.
Yeah.
Rescue.
Okay. Yes.
Letting go of the things that aren't eternal, that don't matter. Because, I have so many things. We all have so many things we want to get done in the day, but we can't fit it all in. But what are the things that are eternal? What are the things that are going to last?
I like the fact that you said let go. So if we go to the river example again, you can't do anything with the water that's already gone by.
Right.
All you can deal with is what's in front of you now, and you better paddle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't miss an opportunity. If you want, if somebody you meet, you can say something, mention something, ask a question, get them engaged in something about the Lord, like what part of the Bible did you read today? Or anything that takes that opportunity is gone. When that person leaves and goes, he's gone. You can't say anything to him.
Okay. Cecil, do you have your hand up?
Yeah. It says, Paul was telling Timothy that bodily exercise profits little. Now, think about this. When you go by a gym and look at the gym and see all the people that are exercising themselves, not in the Scripture, not rightly dividing the Word, but trying to get their bodies in shape, which is going to go back to dust anyway.
Which is where it came from. Last time.
I've got one from the Pal Talk group from Chico in Arizona. He says, positive change and not procrastinating, moving forward.
I like that, moving forward. All right, so let me...
Also got another one. Jim Buckley says, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on toward the front.
To the prize of the high
Thank quality. You guys for the input.
So let me finish up with my thoughts. I asked the question from the beginning, what would be the evidence that you are redeeming the time? What would be the evidence that I personally am redeeming the time? I think the context in both Ephesians and Colossians would help us be prepared with an answer, because there's a lot of truth there. And as we think about Colossians 1:10, it talks about increasing in the knowledge of God, allows us to walk worthy. And that talking to others about the hope that's in us. And we read several verses where the word redemption was used, and it was in the same context as the mystery of Christ, which obviously impacts the mystery. So I have a clock here, and I have a thought about making sure that we have the opportunity. I believe that TFT is not about just telling people the time. It's not about showing them how to read the time for themselves, but instead, it's about creating clockmakers. People who can study for themselves, can answer the questions for themselves. They don't have to go to somebody else and say, what do you think about this? Or can you please tell me what this means? They're not reliant on someone in a podium someplace that's elevated themselves and says, you should believe like I believe, as opposed to study to show thyself approved. And so I think the best definition from my perspective are things that's already been said. Make your time count. Don't waste it. Take every opportunity to be what the Lord's will would be in your life. In Proverbs 6:6, it says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways, and be wise. The ant doesn't waste time. And neither does the bee. The bee has a lifespan of 11 days. It creates one tablespoon of honey. For those of you who had one of those little packets and put it in your coffee or tea today or on your waffles, that was the life work of a bee. In fact, it's probably more than the life work of one bee. And so if we're going to redeem the time, Barney Bagby gave me this. He said that Welch said, one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
And so I think the evidence in anyone in this room's life, would they be on trial for redeeming the time, would be that they would be zealous of good works. We heard that. We read that teaching and denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Are you doing that? Are you staying away from darkness? Are you living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? It's hard to do given the economic, political, etc. We're to walk circumspectly, not as fools. Circumspectly, by the way, is being attentive and guarding against specific danger. Colossians 4, 2 through 6, we read, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Are we doing that? With all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Are we doing that, taking every opportunity? For which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest that I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom. Are we doing that towards them that are without? Redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to ye ought to answer every man. I was honored by Ronnie saying that I had a good wit. I'm not sure that it's seasoned with salt or not.
Blue pepper.
I've been stung by the salt of others in this room. Dr. Mike might be one of them. You probably will hear from him later on this afternoon, and my name or resemblance may be mentioned, so I'm prepared for that. Colossians 1:10, again, walking worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Increasing the knowledge of God. If you want to be fruitful, you better increase in the Word of God. If you want to be able to redeem the time and be able to have an answer for everyone else that would come to you and say, what's the hope in you? Then we best be in the Word, because that's where the answers come from. So being fruitful. And as Roger talked about earlier, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are rightly dividing, you are redeeming the time, because you're not wasting time on the traditions of men. you're focused on things that are above.
Amen.
And that's where our sight should be. That's where we should be. So in terms of 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. If we can say that at the end, then we've redeemed the time, because we've taken every opportunity to be able to be approved. And so those verses for me would be guidelines to show evidence of redeeming the time. But as I've heard already said once, redeeming the time is not traveling the time machine. Can't go back. Can't go forward. I see a question.
A question, maybe a statement. All this scripture study and all that will be for naught if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ aright. Be for naught. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ aright. Let me read you a scripture from 2 Peter. This is not chapter 7, 12, 15, but it gives out a general truth. It says there in 2 Peter 3, 15, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. That should be our long suffering, should be salvation. And also he goes on to say, as in all his epistles, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you. As also I always get speaking to them of all of them of these things which are sometimes hard to understand, which they that are learned in stable rest as they do also the scripture of their own destruction. It's we must know the Lord Jesus Christ aright. That's the most important thing.
Good, thank you. What's that reference again so I can repeat it?
2 Peter 3:15, 16.
2 Peter 3:15, 16, and 17.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that. I believe my time is up. If you have questions, you can ask Mike during his time.